You are listening to Sermon Snippets with Max Taylor, where we exposit God's Word and apply its instruction to our everyday lives. As we study God's Word, we are learning truth that corrects our thinking, meets our needs, and teaches us more about Christ. Here's your host, Max Taylor.
Well, the book of Daniel was quite a study, and honestly, we didn't get to spend the time in that book that we could have. It's difficult to try to balance a once-a-week Bible study going through an entire book, especially a book with so much prophecy, so many visions. I mean, you could spend a vast amount of time in a book like Daniel, but we got through it in a pretty, pretty quick overview of it, and that took a year. So there was a lot of things that I wish we could have mentioned, but we got a lot of study out of that. We spent a good portion of time there. So now we are moving into our next study, and I mean, right up to the end of the study, right up until last week, we were just trying to pack it all in there, finishing out the book of Daniel. Didn't even get to go over some of the numbers there, the times, time and a half, and the number of days. And there's just so much there. And we came to the very end. And of course, the music comes back on. And that means it's time to wrap up the episode for the week. And I ended without even saying what book of the Bible we're going to start studying next. And I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, and haven't really been able to officially announce it the way that I would like to, in a way that kind of portrays my excitement for studying this next book. So here we are, the first week, jumping into the book of 1 Peter, and there's the intro right there. We're going to be studying 1 Peter, the general epistle, written by this very, very close leading apostle in the ministry of Christ, and one who the other apostles looked up to. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing study. And ironically enough, right now I am in three different studies of back-to-back general epistles, because there's James, which we're doing at an in-person Bible study here locally. We're going through the book of James. Now we're doing 1 Peter. And then if you listen and tune into the other podcast that I do with my two brothers, it's called Give Attendance to Reading. We are going through a book written by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, an old preacher, and it's his collection of sermons on the book of 1 John. So there you go. You got James, 1 Peter, 1 John. And if you're like me and you think of it as, oh, that sounds familiar, you know, you might be thinking of Peter, James, and John, the three closest apostles to our Lord. But this James, who the book in the New Testament, the general epistle, is named after, is a different James. So we don't want to get those two confused. Now, Peter and John, those are the disciples from the Gospels. And then James, who this book is written by, that comes in between Hebrews and 1 Peter, that would actually be the brother, the half-brother of Christ, who didn't become a follower of Christ until later on in his life. But nonetheless, three general epistles back-to-back all have such encouraging themes, very challenging themes of total devotion to God, of full assurance, faith, and joy, of 1 Peter here that we're going to be looking at, how we have a living, what he calls a lively hope. So we'll start there. That's going to be, before you even clicked on this episode, you probably read that in the title. That is the theme for our study in the book of 1 Peter. We'll start out reading just in verse 1, and we will come across this theme rather quickly here. So if you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and open up to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll get our introduction to this book here. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And there we have the theme that's going to come up all throughout this book. And I mentioned earlier about studying these three books back to back, which is truly ironic because I planned on 1 Peter being the next study in our Sermon Snippets podcast a long time ago. Goodness, must have been over a year ago that I kind of planned out that I wanted 1 Peter to be the next study, and I've been studying it here and there between then and now, and so now we're finally getting into it. And so for the longest time, I've wanted to go over this book for that very reason, because of all other New Testament books, I think 1 Peter really captures this idea of hope. And that's his central message, that God has begotten us again. He's made us alive again unto a living hope. Our hope isn't dead. It's not a stagnant thing. It's not dormant. It's not passive. It's a living, energetic hope. Our hope is alive, and it's a very strong, motivating thing. And our hope comes from God. So I want us to think about this truly on a personal note as we go through this study. Where does your hope come from? That's a very probing, personal question. But seriously, think about it. Where do we find our hope, our purpose, our reason that makes it worth living? What are we hoping for? What are we hoping in? And 1 Peter gives us the best answer we could ever have to that question, that our hope comes from God. And I'll give you the verse that really, really nails that. And that's chapter 1, verse 21. It says, now this is jumping right into the middle of a pretty big thought here, but we'll just start right there in verse 21. It says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's it. That's the theme of this book, that your faith and hope might be secure in God. So I know this book is going to be an encouragement as we go through it. And I wanted to start in this journey through the book of 1 Peter by taking a look at the bio or the background of the author, and that is Peter himself. Now, oh man, there's so many thoughts that you could give on just a study of the life of Peter. He's such a central figure in the Gospels and the ministry of Christ. He was brought to Christ by, I believe it was his brother Andrew, who led him to Christ, and then he stuck by the side of Jesus all throughout his ministry. As we mentioned before, he was one of those three closest disciples to the Lord, Peter, James, and John. And he was just so tight-knit with the Lord. He was always there. He was always present. He wanted to be close to the Savior. He wanted to be close to Jesus. So he was always there, always present. I mean, I almost picture him as a person who almost like had a fear of missing out. And so he was always there, right in the middle of the action. He could always be found right at the center of the commotion. I think it was John Phillips in his commentary who described the life of Peter as almost like an encyclopedia of the life of Christ. I mean, if you just do a study of Peter, he's there, you know, in almost every event that's recorded of Christ. So it is like, I like that statement. It's like an encyclopedia on the life of Christ, just to study Peter. And in his book here, we're going to see throughout 1 Peter, he gives so many references back to his time with the Lord. It shows just a sweet reminiscing on his walk with Christ, on his time learning. I mean, just imagine being trained by Jesus himself, being taught by Jesus in person. And that was Peter. And so he looks back on those times full of nostalgia. And of course, he had his highs and he had his lows. He had the time when he proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus asked, who do others say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? Peter had another highlight when he said, Jesus posed the question to his followers. He said, are you guys also going to turn away from me? Because so many of the crowd, so many of the spectators had walked away from the Lord, especially when he said that the works of God were that they have faith. That lost him a lot of crowd. And so a lot of people turned away from him. And Jesus said to his followers, he said, are you also going to turn away from me? And then Peter, he said in that moment, he said, where would we go? Because you have the words of life. In other words, if it's not you, like what's the point of life? You are teaching us these eternal things. And so if we don't follow you, there's no point. We don't have anyone to follow because your words are the words of life. So he had some really high points. And of course he had his lows as well. The time when he denied the Lord after adamantly saying that he would not, that he would stick with Christ to the death. He said, why? He even asked, you know, why can't I go with you to the death? And he kind of showed his arrogance. And then, of course, he couldn't even stay awake in the garden to pray. So just such an example of the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But he fell asleep in the garden. He cut off Malchus's ear. And all that after he rebuked the Lord for doubting his faithfulness, but for predicting that he was going to deny the Lord. And he made such a bold claim that he was not only a follower of Jesus, but a fanatic follower of Jesus, that he would go with him to the death. Though everyone else would offend him, he wouldn't offend him. He really puts the other disciples down. And he says, you know, I am going to be faithful to you above everyone else. I will not deny you. And we know that he did. He was proven to be wrong. And he came to his senses after the rooster crowed and he saw the Lord there. He realized that he had denied his Savior. And that was a very low point in Peter's life. So he had some highs. He had some lows. He had so many experiences with Christ that he wrote about. He was instrumental, according to ecclesiastical history. He was instrumental in the penning of the Gospel of Mark. A lot of people say, actually, at the end of this book, 1 Peter, he mentions Marcus, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, it says, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. And many point to him as being John Mark, who was the author of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And so he was there with Peter in Babylon. Some people say that that is figurative of Rome, but I tend to be inclined to think that it's literally Babylon in Mesopotamia because there was a Jewish population there, and Peter being the apostle to the Jews, I believe that's where he was. But he was there with Mark, and so as Mark penned this account with Christ, many historians have said, who was there, the eyewitness account that he was copying these accounts from, these histories from? And so most people agree that that was Peter's accounts that he was getting the material for, that he was documenting together to make the gospel according to Mark. So Peter, a very instrumental figure, and he had so much to say at the end of his life. That's where we come when the books of 1st and 2nd Peter are written. It's towards the end of Peter's life, and he has so much to say to you and to me about his ministry with Christ, how God had taught him, and he's going to share that with us. And the key is that we have a living hope. So we will start this study, and I think you're going to enjoy it through the book of 1 Peter.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Snippets. If this Bible study is a help to you, consider downloading the weekly episodes or sharing this podcast with a friend. Until next time, remember that God's Word is perfect, and it's everything you need to live for Him.